Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Amen. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this wonderful moment, Lord. As we come into Thy presence, Father, we pray that You would speak to us. You would strengthen us from Your word, Father. Because Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto our path. In all situations, in all darkness, Father, we know Your word is supreme and Your word will guide us and strengthen us. Speak to us and strengthen us, Father, in these troublesome times. For in Jesus' name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
As we were worshiping and praying right now, suddenly the Lord told me to share a verse so we can all rejoice in the Lord's presence. Daniel 9:25. Hallelujah. And in Daniel 9:25, the angel Gabriel comes to Daniel and says, "Know therefore and understand, O beloved of God, Daniel, that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times." In another translation, it says, "The wall of Jerusalem and the streets of Jerusalem and the city of Jerusalem shall be built in very tumultuous and troublesome times." It is very interesting that God's word, God's ministry has flourished in the most adverse situations. Hezekiah wanted to build the temple of God. Sanballat and all his team tried to trouble him. However, the prince of Persia came to his rescue. Cyrus issued a decree, and God enabled them to build the walls of Jerusalem. They had weapons in their hand, and they had bricks in the other hand, rocks in the other hand, building the wall of Jerusalem. And again we see Jesus Christ came to this world to obtain salvation for us when there was one of the most ruthless empires ruling over this world. The Roman Empire was the two legs of iron in the book of Daniel's prophecy and was a very ruthless empire. And that is the empire that is going to be the empire of the Antichrist in these last days, and we are getting very close. But we are not waiting for the Antichrist, we are waiting for Jesus Christ for the rapture. So sometimes we pray, "Lord, we want peace, safety, protection, everything to be calm so that Thy ministry can be completed, Thy church can be built all over the world, Thy word can be established, souls can be brought into Thy tabernacle in multitudes. And Father, give us a good government, give us a favorable situation." But then, if you look at the word of God, God's word flourished in the most troublesome times. Even if God does a miracle this 1 week and brings back President Trump, the Democrats are going to be possessed by the enemy, and they are going to try to do everything to prevent us from completing the work to which God has called us. So what is God's response to all this? When the demons, Lucifer, knowing that he has a very short time, is trying to prevent the work of God from happening. It's in Psalm 2. "Why do the heathen rage? Why do the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth gathered themselves together against the Lord and his anointed. And does the Lord come down and attack them and overcome them?" No. The Bible says in Psalm 2, He that sitteth in the heavens on his throne shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. There are many people from the time of Adam and Eve that tried to come against the plan of God, against the people of God. What we find out is that in many situations, God didn't deal directly with them. God raised up another wicked man, and both those wicked men fought with each other, and they died. We see that also when the people of God praised God and prayed unto God, they all woke up and found out that the enemy's army fought with each other and killed each other, and blood was running. So God's work, according to Daniel 9:25, will happen only in very troublesome and tumultuous times. It doesn't usually happen in times of peace. Why? Why is it that way? A sister came to the pastor of the church and said, "Pastor, all this persecution and trouble and tumult and all that stuff that you're talking about, I've never had those problems in my life. Everything has been going my way." And the pastor said, "Of course it is, because you and the devil, Lucifer, are walking hand in hand in the same direction. The devil has no reason to attack you." A pastor of a church was trying to start a church in the 18th century. He was trying to make an impact in the community. 2 years, he had a beautiful building, lots of chairs. Nobody came to the church. He was very sad. He was telling the Lord, "What, Lord? 2 years I worked so hard." But he got together with his family, preached. He did everything like there was a great congregation. And then one day, someone threw a rock on his roof. They got tired of him preaching and all the noise that was happening. And that pastor got so excited. Finally, something is happening. God is making an impact. The wife said, "Honey, someone just threw a rock on the roof. That's all that happened. Probably there's more rocks on the way." And yeah, more rocks on the way. And he inspected the roof after the service and everything was fine. The next Sunday, as usual, he gave the altar call and said, "If today anybody wants to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior." And his wife whispered, "Honey, there's no one in the church." The pastor didn't care. "If there's anyone in the church that wants to give his life to Jesus Christ, come out right now and I will lead you to the sinner's prayer. And you can confess your sins and I will baptize you and lay hands on you and receive the Holy Ghost and you'll be a new person." So there was a little guy about 30, 40 years old who'd come to steal the money from the offering plate, because he and his wife always collected offerings and they put offerings. He came to steal the offering and he was touched by the message and the altar call, and he came out and said, "Pastor, pray for me. I want to give my heart to Jesus." And he was the first elder in the church, and we hear about the wonderful ministry that they did in the 18th century. The ministry of God didn't just happen. Pastors, people of God struggled. They had the government against them. They had Lucifer against them. They had all kinds of powers of darkness against them. And then we read about Martin Luther, I think somewhere between the 16th and 18th century. He read the Bible and he said, "The just shall live by faith." And he went against the Pope. He was on the Pope's paycheck. He was still in the Catholic Church. And he wrote the Word of God in front of his sanctuary. The Pope was after his head. Everybody, kings and everybody, was after his head. But we know what happened. Many authorities and rulers joined with him. But one day, Martin Luther was so sad because the whole world was against him. Because he said, salvation is through faith, not through the Pope. It is through faith in the Word of God. It is through Jesus Christ. It is through the blood of Jesus Christ. It is faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. And they were after him. And one day he was sitting in his library, completely depressed. All my ministry is waste. I preached, everyone has left me. No one is with me. And he was crying. This is enough. I've had enough. And then his wife wore a black dress like she's going to the funeral home and came to his library and said, honey, Luther, I just wanted to say bye to you before I go to this funeral. And he said, whose funeral are you going to? Nobody died. I don't know of any relative or friend that died. Whose funeral? And she said, oh, I'm going to Jesus Christ's funeral. He died. God died. And he said, oh, foolish woman, don't talk like that. Jesus Christ is alive today. God is alive. He's still on the throne. And she said, if Jesus Christ is alive and God is alive, why are you sitting there on the couch depressed? And he said, oh, saintly woman, you have woken me up. And then he got up and he shouted, in the name of Jesus Christ, even if all the tiles on the rooftops become devils and fight with me, if all the tiles on the floor fight with me, in this word I will stand, the just shall live by faith. Thus saith the Lord, and it is the word of God. And that was a turning point in the life of Martin Luther. Our forefathers, the saints, they faced tumultuous times. Isaac was born, the promised seed, when Abraham was about 100 years old. There was no hope. Sarah was probably 90, no hope, but God did it. In a very impossible time, God did it. They were in the boat. They were about to die, they thought. And at that time, Jesus came walking on the water. Did he stop the storm? No, he didn't. He came walking on the water. They thought it was a ghost. He said, I'm Jesus. And Peter said, if that Jesus bid me to come on the water, Jesus said, come. He walked. He went to Jesus. They came back. In that instant, Jesus didn't say anything to the wind. When Peter learned how to walk with his eyes on Jesus and came back into the boat by holding the hand of Jesus, Peter decided that from now on, he is not going to look at the tumultuous times. He's not going to look at the environment. He's not going to look at the storm. He's going to shut his ears from the sound. He's going to be looking at the eyes of Jesus. He learned that to walk in the Christian faith, to walk above the problems and tumults of this world, you have to hold the hands of Jesus and you have to put your arms around him and you have to keep looking at him. That's why Psalm 34, David said, you know, these Psalms, it looks so easy when you read it, but there's a whole experience that David went through. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with open face as in a glass, looking at the face of the Lord, are changed into that same image from glory to glory. This morning, I was sitting down praying to the Lord in the morning. It was around 10 a.m. in the morning. As I was praying, I suddenly saw a vision. And in that vision, we as the Church of the Living God are flying in a beautiful plane, an airplane, a jet. We are flying over the ocean. And guess who's with us? All the leaders of this country, all the current leaders of this country. And suddenly, the plane had some mechanical trouble. There's a big storm, and the plane was about to crash. And everybody on the ground is saying, oh, that plane is going to crash. And I'm trying to see who is the pilot for this plane. And guess who I saw? It was Jesus Christ. He was driving that plane. He was so focused on the screen. And the plane was about to crash. And we all put on our seatbelt, did our emergency procedures, were about to prepare for the crash landing. But there was no announcement from the cockpit saying the plane is going to crash. Suddenly, Jesus changed that plane into a beautiful ship. And then I see in that blue, beautiful ocean, we are all in a ship. And the ship finally makes it to the beach. And we are all getting down, scratching our heads, wondering, wow, we were in a plane and Jesus actually turned it into a ship. And then the people that thought that we would crash are just pounding their heads saying, why didn't it crash? I thought all these Christians would crash and we can take over this country. USA, how come that plane suddenly turned into a ship? In tumultuous times, God does miracles and signs and wonders. If you look at how the church at Philippi was formed, or Philippi, it was when Paul and Silas were in jail. They went to the beach. A sister called Lydia heard the word. And after that, after she became a believer, they were thrown in jail. But in jail, they started praising God and glorifying Him and exalting Him. It was a tumultuous time. They couldn't even move. But the devil forgot to close their mouth. And so they started singing and praising God. There was an earthquake. The door, the first thing that happened when the earthquake came was the door swung wide open. God opens doors when we start praising and worshiping Him. The response to what is happening in this country and all the junk that is going on is to praise God. One thing we need to understand is that the kings and authorities and rulers, the Democrats and Lucifer and everybody, according to the word of God, we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And everybody is inferior to us. And they are right under the feet of Jesus. And we are seated with Jesus Christ at His right hand. And Jesus said, all power and authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. And He has sent us forth with that power and authority. So we cannot be waiting for peaceful times when we have a supportive government. Even if Trump gets ordained and he becomes the president on January 20 and God does a miracle this week, even then the Democrats will be after us. Lucifer will be after us. You know, a person once got so upset with God and he said, God, I don't like it. I have to go do thy work, I have to do thy ministry, I have to build thy church, I have to do all this thing. And guess what? All the time the devil is after me, he makes it hard for me. When I go in the car for preaching, my tire goes flat. When I fix my tire, then the brakes come off. This is getting really hard, Lord. Why are you not intervening? You got to go ahead and slap the devil and put him in his spot so it can be easy for me. And God spoke to him and asked him, have you played basketball, Pastor? And he said, yes, Lord. He forgot he was talking to God. Yes, Lord. Once when I was in high school, I was a basketball champ. So he said, did you play by yourself or did you have a opposing team? Oh, yeah. Oh, we had this other school there was this big rivalry, the whole playground. When we had home games, all my team was there cheering me. So when you went to score the basket, there was no one around blocking you. You just kept on scoring baskets. How many baskets did you score? Well, not really. Those guys were tough. They had a good defense, Lord. And when I went to score the basket, sometimes I got hurt. They blocked me with their hand. They blocked me with their body. They had surrounded me. They did everything they could to stop me from putting the basket. But, you know, I was really good at three-pointers. And I scored a lot of three-pointers. And I could run fast. And I didn't mind those wounds that I suffered with them blocking me and hitting me and whacking me. Yeah, I broke a few bones. But my team never lost the game because I didn't give up. And God said, if that's true of basketball for an earthly crown, you think the devil is going to let you go there into the gates of hell and just bring back souls from the fire and is going to sit there and say, oh, I'm too sleepy, Pastor. You can have all the souls that you want. This is a spiritual battle. Haven't you read Ephesians 6? For we war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Why is the devil mad? Why are the Democrats mad? Why are the Hollywood mad? Why are the witches mad? Why is the media mad? Because they all got demon possessed. Why did they get demon possessed? Because the rapture is about to take place. And the devil has been given a notice. Lucifer has been given a notice saying, hey, this day, time, hour, second, your time is over. And that's in the book of Revelation. We didn't make it up. The devil, knowing that he has very little time left, is furious. And he wants to destroy the church. He wants to destroy the people. He can think anything he wants. We are surrounded by a wall of fire. I remember one of the high priests in the satanic church. He got converted and he accepted Jesus Christ. They are still hunting him down to kill him because he left his satanic priesthood. And he said they could fly anywhere they want. They didn't need a plane. They didn't need a broom like you see in comics. He just could fly anywhere he wanted. He could go and put spells on people's houses. And he said, the only problem I had is true Christians that prayed, that had this different spirit, that spoke in a different language without the Holy Spirit. They had some power. I couldn't enter into that entire subdivision, even if there was one godly man in that subdivision. And so when he came back to Christianity, became a pastor, he talked about the power that God's children had and that we should not fear anything. We should not fear government. We should respect them. We should not fear government. We should not fear demons. We should not fear anything. Our objective is to build the church of the living God, to save souls, prepare them for the rapture. And we need to keep preaching it. If somebody says stop preaching, we need to tell them exactly what Peter and Paul and John said. Do we have to listen to God or to mortal men like you who would be gone like the grass that is upon the rooftop when the sun comes up and scorches it? And they went and prayed as the church. And they said, Lord, give us more power and boldness. And the place where they gathered was shaken. A few weeks back, God gave me a dream. And in the dream, he said, you might just be a handful of people, but let me tell you what is happening right now. And he told me in the dream, okay, I'm going to show you an evangelist. And he showed me that evangelist, and he came with his whole family and children. And All his wife and children, they were feasting, going to movies, having an exciting entertainment time while he came for a gospel ministry. And all the food that he was eating, the luxury that he was enjoying, the money he was earning, God spoke to me and said, "Do you see what is happening in Christianity? How those who call themselves pastors and teachers and TV evangelists are fleecing my people, not knowing that this is the blood that I shed on the cross of Calvary?" And he said, "This will come to a stop, my child. And I'm going to use my true people, because I will not allow my name to be blasphemed and desecrated anymore. And when my people come on the scene, I will shake the earth. I will manifest my power like never before, with signs and wonders and mighty deeds and true miracles and true holiness, because in the Gospels, they preached the Word of God, and I confirmed the Word with signs following. Today they preach signs. They don't preach the Word. But my son, my Word travels faster than lightning. My Word travels faster than the speed of light. And very soon I will establish my Word." And I woke up from the dream and I said, "Wow, this breaks the heart of God." All the prosperity preaching that is going on wounds the heart of Jesus. It is like crucifying Jesus. When we say prosperity, Jesus does talk about the prosperity of the soul and the spirit. If God prospers us physically and economically, we need to use it for the Lord's ministry. We need to use it for His glory and not for our luxury. What God gives us is for His glory, not for our luxury. Achan thought that when the walls of Jericho fell, all that gold and silver belonged to him, and he died, because the wrath of God came not only on him, but on the entire church in the wilderness. And talking about the wall of Jericho, very tumultuous time, but they praised God. So we are living in a tumultuous time. It will get worse. It won't get better, because Satan is mad. Who cares if he's mad? We have power in the name of Jesus Christ. We need to preach the Word of God like never before, the truth of God like never before. And if someone tells us to stop, we'll be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. "O King, we don't have to listen to you. We will listen to God, who is the King of Kings." Of course, they'll throw us in the furnace. So what? Jesus Christ will be with us. And then we'll get promoted, and the whole earth, from the rising of the sun even to the going down thereof, the Lord's name will be praised. No one can stop the work of God. And the Word of God, the work of God, the ministry of God will happen in tumultuous time. Everybody is scared. What will happen if Joe Biden and Kamala and the Democrats come and communism come? What will happen to the Word of God? What will happen to the Church of the Living God? Nothing. Nothing is going to happen. Because in adversity, the Church of the Living God will flourish. But we are praying that all the stuff that happened, all the demonic stuff that happened, will be judged by God this week. And God will bring President Trump next week to be inaugurated, so he can bring this nation back to the Word of God and the Bible and the true foundation. But we also have to say, "Not our will, Father, but thine be done." Regardless of who becomes the president, we belong to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. To those who accepted him, he gave them authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. God will hear our prayer, and our prayer will shake God's hand, and God's hand will shake the earth. So let's keep preaching. Let's keep teaching. Let's keep sharing the Word of God. Let's keep praising God like never before, and thanking Him and glorifying Him. Like Brother Max said, we have read the back of the book and we win. May God bless these words and strengthen us. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise.